everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
But hey, you know what? I cannot believe that we're only 1 week away from the most significant, important, earth-shattering weekend of the year, and that is Easter. Because Christianity, it all boils down to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what makes Jesus the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And that's coming up next weekend. And it'll be my 11th Easter here at Chase Oaks and the great state of Texas. And so, man, it feels like yesterday that we first immigrated here to Texas from California, but 11 years, here we are. Time sure flies. But you know what? It wasn't too long ago when life was so much more simple. Like when my daughters were young, they were 7 and 9 when we first came here. And at that age, they actually wanted daddy around all the time. And so when I would leave for a work trip, they would be sad, but I would make it up to them because I would make sure I come back giving them a little gift, whether it was a Littlest Pet Shop figurine or a Beanie Boo, little stuffed animal thing. And when I brought back those toys, all was good. Now, eventually, they got older and smarter, and they started figuring out, and they said, hey, Dad, you should go on more trips. You should go on more trips and get us more gifts and so forth. But you know what? Now, here we are. Today, my daughters are 20 and 18. That's crazy. My youngest is about to graduate Allen High School in May. That is insane. And now, gifts are not so simple and easy and inexpensive anymore. A lot more complex and pricey. And they don't really seem to need me around the house as much as they used to, except when there's a bug, a giant Texas bug in their room or something like that. Then they need me. But you know what? But recently, my younger daughter went on a trip. So she went away with her friends on spring break. And instead of her coming back giving us gifts, she asked us for something. But you know what? This is what she asked from us. I think this is like a recent brand new phenomenon. It's called a bed party. Anyone know what the bed party is? Have you heard that? I think it's like 1 or 2 years old, because my older daughter, 2 years ago, graduated high school. There was no such thing as bed party. So it's a brand new thing. So my wife and I, what the heck are you talking about? And then when we looked it up, we figured out, oh, that's what a bed party is. Basically, it's capitalism at its best. Giving another reason to spend a ton of money for really one simple social media post. Basically, what happens is a senior will get into a college and they choose that college, and then they basically want a bed party. But she, my younger daughter, said, but mom and dad, make it a surprise. Just surprise me. So obviously, during spring break, she was out of the house for 5 days. So we set up her bed party, and check this out. Yes, a bed party. Basically, it is just tons of paraphernalia. And she got into a UT CAP program, and so just Longhorn this, burnt orange overload like crazy. And that was the first day she got back from spring break. She was loving it. But you know what? Check this out. Fortunately, most of those items you see there was borrowed. There was a very generous, diehard Longhorn alum that had tons of paraphernalia, and that wasn't even all of it. He just said, hey, this is good enough for now, right? If you need more, let me know. He lent it to us, so we didn't have to pay an arm and a leg, and we were able to return it back. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you to that Chase Oaker for really saving us. And hook 'em horns, right? Hook 'em horns. I gotta do it. My daughter's headed that way. Now, what's interesting about this tradition of giving a gift to your child when you're leaving for a trip, when a parent is leaving for a trip, I'm sure I'm not the first person to ever do that. In fact, did you know that 2,000 years ago, there's evidence in the Bible of someone actually doing that to someone else? And then there was an incredible gift that was actually given. Any guesses what that gift may have been in the Bible? All right, let me tell you. It was a car. Because check this out. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible talks about how the disciples were in one accord. Look it up. It's in there. Now, even if this was true, the gift I'm talking about is actually infinitely so much better than a car. And so today I am closing out the series called The Last Supper, which was literally the final supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And before he would be betrayed, abandoned, arrested, tortured, and then crucified on the cross. Not necessarily the best times for him and his disciples in these last hours. But in their Last Supper, Jesus drops tons of bombs on the disciples, saying and doing things that causes confusion, distress, sadness, anxiety, as you could imagine. Now, Eric Torrance, one of our pastors here, shared a couple weeks ago how this shocking act of servitude demonstrated by Jesus, how he washed his disciples' feet during the Last Supper, when that typically was reserved for the lowest of lowest servants in the house. Because remember, they didn't have closed-toed shoes. They had these sandals walking around in dirt and so forth. So every time they come in the house, they got to get their feet washed by the lowest servant. And yet Jesus, their teacher, their rabbi, their Messiah, God himself, was the one that demonstrated that level of servitude and washed their feet. Not only that, last week, Jeff talked about also in the Last Supper, their final supper, Jesus introduced them a new command: to love another the way that Jesus radically loves us. Yet in the midst of that, Jesus also announces this bomb to the disciples that one of them will betray him, Jesus is leaving them, and Peter will deny him not once, not twice, but three times. Anyone have room for dessert? Great dinner talk, right? We could only imagine how rocked, or maybe my daughters would say, how shook the disciples are in their, how shook they are in their world being turned upside down in this final, final supper. Now, fortunately, the supper did not just end there. Jesus then introduces the best gift ever. He promises that this gift will transform them from the inside out, and that this gift that he'll give will be presented after he leaves them, and then this gift, when they receive it, they will never be the same again. So let's look into that moment in the Last Supper in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 17. It'll be on the screens. Truly, truly, this is Jesus talking, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The ultimate gift that Jesus promises after he leaves is the Holy Spirit, who is referred to here in this passage as helper and the Spirit of truth. Now, whether you've been a follower of Jesus your whole life, or maybe this is your first time setting foot into a church, I would argue that the Holy Spirit is typically the least known and least understood compared to Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. Therefore, in the short amount of time that we have left, I'd like to share with you a brief introduction, because this 35 minutes does not do justice in explaining and introducing to us the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to share with you a brief introduction on who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and how the Holy Spirit applies to each one of us. You ready? Brief introduction. Okay, so who is the Holy Spirit? Now, there's a common misunderstanding that the Holy Spirit is like the Force. Strong is the Force in this one, right? or some other impersonal energy in the universe, and therefore the Holy Spirit is called an it. That is false. He is actually one of the three distinct persons of the Trinity, our God in the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Trinity, one God who exists in three distinct co-equal persons, that is the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is fully God. Now, if that didn't confuse you already, there's nothing on earth or even in our imagination like our triune God. So all analogies fall short. But let me share with you a couple of analogies from the past that have been used, but still doesn't do it justice. H2O, hydrogen and two parts oxygen, or two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, I forgot chemistry class. But anyways, H2O, right? It could be gas, steam, liquid, water, or solid, ice. However, where it falls short, you cannot be all three substances simultaneously. H2O must only be in one, can only be one at a time. That's called modalism. That's a heresy that was debunked a long time ago. That is not a good analogy of the Trinity. There's another analogy that's common out there. I'm a dad, I'm a husband to my wife, and I'm a son to my parents. However, that falls short as well, because depending on the context of the person, I cannot be all three at the same time. I am not my wife's dad. I am not my wife's son, right? So that falls short as well. Now, here is an analogy that I feel it's a little bit closer to explaining our triune God, but even this falls short, but let me explain it. Basically, think about an equilateral triangle, all right? 60 degrees at every corner, each side is equal in length. Each side is distinct, each side is needed, and no matter what you do, you cannot change anything, the angle, the side length, or anything like that, or else it's no longer an equilateral triangle. But together, they are a triangle simultaneously. And so, but they are distinct at the same time. Each side is distinct. Now again, that is not a perfect analogy. There's nothing under the sun ever created or in our imagination that could ever do justice to explain away our triune God. But you know what? Not having a perfect analogy is not necessarily a bad thing. Isn't it awesome to know that our God is far greater, far more complex than anything that exists, anything that has ever been created or can be imagined or fully comprehended? So for some of us, this may spark some curiosity to do more research and study up on it, and go for it. And let me recommend a couple of people here at Chase Oaks, if you really want to talk to someone about it, our lead pastor, Jeff Jones, or our founding pastor, Gene Getz. They're two of the most brilliant minds that I've ever met in my life. But again, Trinity, three distinct persons, co-equal, equal in essence, equal, but yet distinct persons in one God. Okay, so now that you all know exactly who the Holy Spirit is, what exactly does the Holy Spirit do? Well, let's continue on in verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, the original Greek word for helper is paraclete, and it's also translated in different ways like advocate, comforter, and counselor. And the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He teaches us so that we can grow. He helps us to recall God's word so we realign our minds to what is true versus all the false narratives that are out there. All right, y'all. I am seriously memorizing challenged. All right? Believe it or not, for example, I used to lead worship in my small church that I grew up in when I was in college for the youth group. And I was notoriously known of messing up the lyrics. Even the simplest of songs, Jesus loves me, this I show. Like, in the midst of it, I'm all into it, and I'll mess up that simple lyric. Or I'm also known to mess up idioms and say things like, let the monkey out of the bottle. Do you know what I'm trying to say with that one? Any guesses? Who let the cat out of the bag? Let the cat out of the bag. So I was like, all right, monkey, cat, bottle, bag, you know, same thing, right? But those were, no, I was known to call, say a lot of Peterisms after a while. Now, I blame my family, my immigrant family upbringing, because all my life, until I met my wife, who was the first person to finally correct me, I thought the word naligis was a real word. That's what my dad would always say, Peter, you have to be naligis about the Bible. Only to find out that the correct word is actually knowledgeable. So I guess I was ironically not all that naligious growing up. No wonder my SAT English score was so bad. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit helping me recall truth, I still get amazed to this day when it happens. Now, on a regular basis, I meet up with Chase Oakers and non-Chase Oakers wanting pastoral counsel. And I cannot tell you how many times that I am shocked by how I'm able to recall different Bible references, passages, principles, stories to connect with what that person is going through at that moment. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Additionally, there have been countless times when the Holy Spirit downloads the perfect analogy that I've never shared before, even thought of, in the midst of talking to this person in a very challenging situation that this person is going through. And as I'm sharing these analogies, I'm blown away as words are coming out of my mouth. Oh my gosh, this is so good. And I'm like, I never thought of this. Where is this coming from? And when it's effective, I give Holy Spirit the credit. When it's not effective, I'm pretty sure that just came from me. It's so much fun, y'all, to see the Holy Spirit at work. And the cool thing is, he works in and through all believers if you let him. He's not just working through pastors, or as Jeff would like to say, aka professional Christians, but every single believer. The Holy Spirit also gives us supernatural peace and comfort that the world and circumstances cannot give. The world's peace only happens in the absence of conflict. Good luck on trying to sustain that type of peace. But the Holy Spirit's peace is confident assurance under any circumstance. No matter how volatile the economy has been, we can find peace in the Holy Spirit. No matter what challenges you're going through in life, health, relationships, finances, our jobs, we can find peace through the Holy Spirit. And not just peace. Wait, there's more. There's the fruit of the Spirit that's supernaturally from the Holy Spirit as well. Galatians 5:22-23 reveals this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what's also cool, this passage continues on, and it says that there is no law against these things. In other words, you will never find a law forbidding any of the fruit of the Spirit. You'll never hear, oh, no, too much patience, come on. No, too kind, no, too much kindness, arrest that person. Too much goodness, too much peace. No, we got to stop this right now. This is not good. Now, if you think about the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, man, you can get in a lot of trouble. But the fruit of the Spirit, it will never hurt anyone. If anything, it does the opposite. Imagine a world if you and I was able to live out the fruit of the Spirit. If everyone lived out the fruit of the Spirit. Imagine your workplace where everyone was always joyful. Imagine your home if there was always peace. Imagine friendships if there were always faithfulness. Imagine our neighborhoods if there was always kindness. Imagine being the one who is loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. Anyone want to sign up for that kind of life? One of the best practical daily indicators where I can tell whether or not I'm connected with the Holy Spirit and His fruit is when I'm driving. See, driving in California most of my adult life, it started growing a certain thing inside of me, a passion for efficient mobility, which at times turned into R&R. Stands for road rage, not rest and restoration. And I've collected literally 30 tickets throughout my life to show for it. I'm not proud. That mostly happened in my younger days. But now that I'm older, now that I'm in Texas, Southern hospitality, and oh, I drive a Prius too, I call it road restlessness. Everything about either R&R is basically the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. When I'm driving in an R&R state, there is no love, there is no joy, there is no peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and barely any self-control. R&R for me is a clear indicator that I'm lacking in my connection with the Holy Spirit. I don't know, can anyone relate to me? Am I the only one? I see all you guys driving out there, I don't know. I need connection with the Holy Spirit every day, every hour, every time I get behind the wheel. The Holy Spirit wants to fuel all of us with the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to be a total game changer in our lives. Man, what a gift Jesus is giving after he leaves to his disciples and the rest of us. I conclude that maybe the Holy Spirit is a little better than a Beanie Boo or a Littlest Pet Shop, right? Okay, so next, how do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:38, here's Peter talking, one of his disciples. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But wait, there's more. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new life has begun. When we start a relationship with Jesus, we are a brand new person because we now receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives in us full time. Apostle Paul even talks about in 1 Corinthians 6 how we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, this claim is significant. A temple in the Bible is where the presence of God resided. And only high priests a few times a year had access to get to the other side of the curtain to be in the presence of God. But check this out. When Jesus took his last breath on the cross, the Bible tells us that the temple's curtain, which is 6 stories high, 60 feet up, 4 feet thick, and 30 feet wide, tore from the top down, symbolizing that God is the one that did it. Top down, because that symbolized now, because of Jesus' death and sacrifice on the cross, every single believer has direct access to God. You do not have to go through a pastor or a high priest any longer. We all have direct access to have a personal relationship with our Savior. The gift of the Holy Spirit then makes us temples where he resides. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. It's kind of like the analogy, if I can go on that vein, of Spider-Man versus Batman. As the name Peter Park, I gotta go there. It's been a minute. All right, so Batman. Batman, he's a cool guy. With all the gadgets and gazillions of dollars and technology and all the toys and his voice, I'm Batman. I mean, that's a pretty cool guy. However, if you strip all those tools and toys away, he's just as vulnerable as the next guy. He's just Bruce the human. Then you have Peter Parker. A nerdy, unimpressive high school student one day gets bitten by a radioactive spider, transforming him into a new person from the inside out. He is supernaturally different, has supernatural powers, and can spin webs any size, catch a thief by surprise, look out. Here comes Spider-Man, right? He is no longer just Peter Parker. He is Spider-Man inside out. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Sound a little bit more biblical? I'm just saying, I don't know. So all y'all who are followers of Jesus, you are much more like a spiritual Spider-Man or Spider-Woman. You didn't know that walking in here today, right? Welcome to the Spideyverse. That's right. When you and I begin a relationship with Jesus, we are forever not the same. We may look the same on the outside, but we now have the Holy Spirit, y'all, living in us, and nothing we do or say or think of can ever change this reality forever. The Holy Spirit will never leave us, and we are never alone because He is always with us. I grew up going to church my whole life, but in eighth grade, I realized for the very first time that Christianity was about a personal relationship with Jesus and not just a religion of do's and don'ts. However, I did not realize that I'm also a temple of the Holy Spirit until much later. 1 John 4 says, "The Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." And check this out. Hebrews 13 says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" See, these truths from the Bible give me courage and strength when I'm going through some challenging times, spiritual battles, and when my world around me seems to be falling apart. So now that we know a little bit more of who this Holy Spirit is, what He does, and how we can receive Him, how do we live this with this reality of the Holy Spirit in us? Okay, so last week, Jeff talked about how Jesus gave the disciples a new command to love one another the way that Jesus loves them, which is crazy, which is unexpected, which is a radical form of love, a love that forgives our enemies, a love that loves the undeserving, a love that focuses on serving others more than being served. That's a radical, crazy love. But this is one of the main reasons why Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in Him. Because we cannot sustainably live out this type of Jesus love on our own strength, on our own ability, and our own grit. This is a supernatural love we're talking about, beyond our natural ability. So that's why we have to constantly be connected to the Holy Spirit to live out this supernatural love. The Holy Spirit can lead us, guide us, nudge us towards God's way and God's will to live out the mission that Jesus started. To love one another the way Jesus loves, which is the highest bar of love. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the light in this dark world, and to be brand ambassadors of Jesus, as Jeff eloquently explained last week. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is Paul talking. "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk on wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord with your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that a beautiful picture of our triune God right there in one passage? All three persons of our Trinity is identified there. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a daily and throughout the day connection. Let me share with you a prayer tool that could help, and feel free when it shows up on the screen to take a picture of it and keep it on your phone so you can have it with you at all times, since we never leave our phone home without our phone, right? We're always with our phone. And let's just try it right now. It's a Holy Spirit daily prayer that is simple and easy. It's just an example, but it's a sample that could be a good reminder for all of us. So you wake up, and you could easily read this and say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you today. Fill my mind, guide my steps, help me see what you see. Be my strength, my peace, my friend. I trust you. Lead me. And then this next part, anytime during the day, you need to take a break, you're in the bathroom, whatever. Just pause for 30 seconds. Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? What do you want me to notice? Interact with him. Again, it's not an it, it's he. He's in us. Interact with him. And then finally, before we go to bed or as we reflect on the day, think to yourself, where did I sense his help today? Where did I forget to lean on him? What am I grateful for? And then you could pray, thank you for walking with me today. Grow my awareness. I want to know you more. Simple, short, easy. But by doing this in different parts of our day, we're remembering again, that's right. God is not just some entity that we cannot see with any of our five senses. But you know what? God's presence doesn't just exist at church. God's presence exists in me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He doesn't come in and out, take a break. He's in us full time. And therefore, we have access to him full time. Nonstop. Jesus will come back again in the flesh. But until then, we have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus even says in another passage, hey, this is even better for you. Because think about it, Jesus was not omnipresent. He could only be at one place at one time. You didn't see Jesus simultaneously in two different places when he was walking the earth. He's God in his deity, but in his humanity, he was limited. But the Holy Spirit, he's not limited in that sense. So until we see Jesus face to face, may you and I live each day filled with the gift and the fruit of the Holy Spirit so we can live out our purpose to love the way Jesus loves, so we can inspire people to follow Jesus and together change our world for good. Will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you tend to be the neglected one amongst our triune God. But God, that's because there's a lot of maybe different views of who you are and what you do. But God, thank you that there's no argument that we are temples of the Holy Spirit if we've chosen to follow you. And God, there may be those in the room that have never made that decision yet. But maybe tonight is the night that they say, yes, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to start living a new life from the inside out. So Holy Spirit, thank you that your gift is freely given to anyone who says yes to you because of what Jesus, you did on the cross, that we're going to celebrate this next weekend. Not only what you did on the cross, but what you did by defeating death and rising again on Easter Sunday. So God, thank you for who you are, and thank you for how you're working in us and continually growing us, and thank you that you never leave us and we're never alone. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.